I'm very thankful to the worship team for many things, and also for the reminder this morning that from January through March, our quarterly theme is that of faith. Faithfulness of God on the one hand, and faithful followers of Christ on the other hand. Thank you for faithfully praying for the needs, challenges, and also opportunities of the church, both within the four walls and beyond. And today we give thanks to God for bringing us Brother Wang. He arrived just days ago, and he's one of our many prayers throughout from time to time. So I'm going to turn the time over to Brother Wang for him to come up and share. And Brother Wang is wearing a tribal costume. I understand that there are many different tribes, and each tribe has their own unique characteristics costume. And this is the tribe that he's been serving among for quite a few years. So I pray that as he comes up, God will make him a great encouragement to us and vice versa.
First of all, I give thanks to the Lord for giving me this opportunity, bring me back to CCC, our church here. The opportunity gave to me so I can see, thank you very much, face to face. Thank you so much for your care, for your prayers, for your sacrifices for so many years. With your support, with your prayers, I'm able to be used by the Lord in the mountain village in southwestern China. I know I take advantage of my village traditional clothes. So you can see it's colorful. So the village I live is belong to the Yi tribe. The mountain people, we live in the elevator is 2,600 meters above sea level, which is equal to 9,000 feet above sea level. Well, you know, I saw Pastor Gu just in front of me. They remind me over half years ago, our church sent Pastor Gu to come to our village to encourage us to bring the spiritual food to help our young teachers there. I want to start my short report sharing by reading from the scripture from the Psalm 142, verse 5 to 7. Let me read it. If you have your Bible, you can open to Psalm 142, verse 5 to verse 7. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness for me. Yes, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is our refuge. What I want to share with you is about the year just passed, 2017. Actually, from the very first day of 2017, we were in extreme difficulty situation through the whole year to the last day of 2017. On the first morning of 2017, our hearts were broken by sad news. A student of our village school who was 11 years old, sudden dead while sleeping in the night of the last day of 2016. So it's a very sad story, this little boy, He's from kind of broken family when he was about five, you know, just very young. His mother, his father, they were like a teenager parents. They just abandoned him. They divorced. They never got married, but they just separate. They go different way. And then they put the little boy under the care of the grandparents. So he spent several years under the care of a grandparent. That's one day his grandfather rode the motorcycle, ran off the mountain road. Someone also ride with him behind the grandpa. So he also got hurt. Both of them got hurt. But that person's family, they said, okay, you should be responsible because you know you rode the bicycle. They made him to pay the medical bill for the person who rode with him. But the grandpa didn't have the money. You know what happened. He committed suicide. He hung himself. So the little boy stayed with the grandma for a while. The grandma, just about 40 years old, she remarried to someone else in another village. So the grandma returned the boy to the boy's mother. The mother is just about in the middle of 20s. She lived with another man. So the boy suffered a lot. So that's our student. We have seven students in our school, just like little boy, lack of parents' love. So that's the first day we experienced, we encountered. And then the last day of just 2017 is related to the livelihood of our village, 400 people, because we had good harvest, but a good harvest of potato, but we couldn't sell the potato. The total harvest is about 700 tons. We only sold 20 tons. So in the last 2.5 months, I did try to find potential buyers. I contacted a food processing factory, and then the company do the wholesale for vegetable, but nobody come to buy. So that means we lost the entire, the whole year's the work. You think about the villagers, they just for the whole year, the back-broken hard labor, they couldn't even get back the seed money. So that's the Lord put our school there to share the hardness, to share the sadness of life in Jesus' love with the villagers, with brothers, sisters in that village. So that's only part of we encountered the challenge in the year 2017. The most difficult part is related to the persecution. In the month of April, our young teachers went to the township, which is 25 kilometers away from our village, to buy things on the market day. On the market day, so many people went to the market, which is in the township. And then our teachers had a zeal of spread the gospel, start to talk about Jesus' love, Jesus' salvation to people around them in the market. Many people feel interested. They just came, gathered a kind of a quite a large crowd there, maybe about 40, 50 people in the market. So our teachers start to distribute the gospel tracts, the Chinese gospel tract to people there. You know what happened? The secret camera set by the big brothers got them, filmed them, And then later on, the police department, They checked the camera. They saw, oh, these people distribute the gospel tracts just not too far from the township government. And then, you know what? They set up time. They informed me through the local police to go there to have a cup of tea. You know, in China, they use the word to have a cup of tea with police. That means you are in trouble. So when I got there, they gave me warning. They threatened me. They said, I am responsible because I'm older. I recruit the young teachers, come to the village to do the work with me. So it must be me to organize the whole things, to spread gospel, distribute gospel tracts. They even told me, next time, if you do the same thing, you got to leave. We'll kick you out here. I said, I'm a Chinese. I'm a Chinese citizen. I have a Chinese passport. Where you want me to go? We don't care. You are not allowed to live here. So I have lived in the village for 20 years. In this area, actually it's 24 years in two villages. All the people know me. I think the Lord assigned me there. So it is, not easy. You know, you can think that my heart is heavy, but I don't want to, make you feel your heart also feel heavy. I want to share some the happy things with you. You know, you can feel the joy I have experienced in God's grace. For years, actually for many years, we have tried to reach to another village, also belong to the Yi tribe. There's no church. So we share Jesus' love by providing the practical help to orphans, to widows in another village. We regularly to provide some kind of clothes, rice, cooking oil, we bring over to another village, tell them because we are in Jesus, we want to share the Jesus love with the villages over there. Through many efforts, a little bit over 1 year ago, two families received the Lord there, and then later on, some other people in the village, they are willing to learn to receive the Lord. Now there's six families in the village already made decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we start a small church in another village across the valley from the village I live. So it is a great reward from the Lord to us. I should say to all of you here, brothers, sisters here, because your prayer, your care, your support make our work can be continued over there. This is a happiness. This is a gladness. This is a joy from the Lord. So not only, the difficult time, we have a wonderful time. So when we, I think the December 10th, when our local Christian believers gather together to have our annual Thanksgiving and Christmas celebration, people, they put their best clothes like this, put on, gather together in our village. We have over 1,000 people, all Christians from the nearby villages come to give thanks to the Lord, thank Him for His saving grace, thank Him for helping us to go through the difficult time. One thing I'd like to share with you is because the current, this month, China's religion affairs regulation has been enforced, start from February 1st. So a lot of things
you know, this relate to the Christian believers in China. The government, they watch close what we are doing, what we, even in the village, they make us to report to the local government. But in the big city, like in Beijing, like in Shanghai, the house church experience extreme pressure because they made very clear, if you are house church, you register with the government, we will allow you to continue to have your worship. Otherwise, you are not allowed to have meetings. So we need to pray for the house church in China, for Christian believers in China. They face this kind of a challenge, a difficult time. For me, my prayers, the Lord gave me good health so I can continue to do the work over there. Of course, needs a spiritual food, needs a scripture support. So I have been in Yunnan for 24 years. I like to, I set a term for myself, 30 years. So I still have 6 more years to go. But 1 year ago, I was diagnosed my PSA is high. I have some kind of cancer cell. But I think my prayer is the Lord help me to finish well. This is my prayer. Thank you. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. The Lord be with our CCC family. Use us in this city to carry on the work He assigned each one of us. Give thanks to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Wang. Continue to pray for him and also for Greg and Luna. Greg and Luna will be here next week, and you have opportunity to meet with them and also to hear them share about their ministries for the Lord. And now let us read together a very short passage, and I trust that it will be a passage that would encourage us in more ways than one. From 1 Kings chapter 17, the first 6 verses. 1 Kings chapter 17, the first 6 verses. If you have your Bible with you, please read together with me. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Live here. Turn eastward and hide in the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Let us pray. We thank you, Father God, because there is power in your word. Thank you for our children who set an example, taking seriously your word to heart. And we pray, O Lord, that together the church may grow because the church listens to and honor your word. And we pray, Father God, that for Brother Wang, for all pastors and missionaries and all servants of the Lord serving in different capacity, grant us faithfulness, for we know, O Lord, that you are a God who is not only almighty, but also a God faithful in providing. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Wang's example is a very, very good illustration of our theme this year, loving God, touching lives. The scripture shows us over and over again that, you know, our God is very eager to provide and to bless his children. Holding out the people of God in the midst of adversity or when the going is tough, But God says he is with us and he will continue to look us, he will continue to look at us, protect us, and also lead us on. In the passage we just read, we know that God delights to provide. He provided for his servant Elijah, and he has provided for each and every one of us who call ourselves by the term Christian. We know that Jesus meant exactly the same thing too, because in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, Jesus says basically the same thing. Jesus says, you know, love God first. Let your life be effective for God first. And God knows all your other needs, and he's going to provide for you. So therefore, Jesus says, you know, go after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his teaching, his principles first, and the rest of these is going to be yours. God makes sure that it would work out that way. In the passage we just read in 1 Kings chapter 17, the first six verses, we read in verse 1, this is what the situation was about. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to King Ahab in Samaria, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word, except when I call out to God on behalf of the people." So straight away, we know that the drought was a severe drought. Everyone was accepted throughout the entire land of Israel. There's no exception. And it was given by a prophecy from Elijah through the power of God. So God says that, you know, in no uncertainty, this is going to come to pass just as Elijah has predicted. So the natural question is that since it's going to affect everyone, how would Elijah be affected? Would he come out alive? How would he fare? And the answer definitely is that yes, Elijah would come out, would survive with flying colors. Why? Not because Elijah was a superman, but because Elijah was under God's care and provision. How did God provide for Elijah? How did he provide for Greg Luna, for John and Donna, for Pastor Wang, and for everyone who serves him? We know that from this passage, not to worry. God has the ability to provide, and he also has the ability to provide in different ways. First, we know that he did it for Elijah. He would do it for you and for me in Christ too. Lessons or reminder number one, God provides when we obey him. Specifically, God provides when we obey his word, his direction, his guidance. The first verses 2 and 3. Now, in verse 5, it says that Elijah started on an excursion towards the ravine. Know that he went there, in verse 5, in obedience to the word of God, in verse 3. So it's a very simple thing, but very significant and very profound, because it was God who told Elijah. It was God who gave that thought to Elijah. And Elijah, perceiving that, you know, this was a direction from God, and therefore he obeyed. He obeyed the thought and the directions from God. So we see that Elijah was heading in this particular direction because he has heard God talk to him first. Therefore, when we pray to God for him to provide, one of the things is that, you know, let us also not forget his word. Let us learn to read his word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a very good exercise for the whole church. Let us learn to meditate. Let us learn to reflect on his word. And let us, after perceiving what God is trying to tell us, let us also learn to obey his word. I want you to know that obeying God usually is not an easy thing. In the map that you saw, when God directed Elijah to go eastward, you would find that, you know, there are three places, Samaria, Tishbe, and also the ravine. In verse 1, Elijah had to talk to King Ahab, a very wicked king, a king who knew what God wanted, but did not want to do what God delighted in. So through Elijah, God told and warned Ahab in Samaria, because that is the capital, you know, where King Ahab resided. God through Elijah told King Ahab that this is what is going to happen. And after that, if you do not look at the map, it looks like, you know, minutes later, maybe a day or two later, you know, Elijah make the easy journey from Samaria to the east all the way to the ravine. But actually, it wasn't an easy journey at all. Elijah obeyed God to talk to King Ahab and deliver the warning, not just to the king, but also to the entire population. But at the same time, it wasn't done. He had to continue to go eastward to the place that God has directed him. So we know that obedience to God may sound simple, but it usually comes at a cost. But however, when we decided to obey God, you find that God will provide. God will meet us where we are. And the second thing about, you know, faithful God providing is that God provides according to our needs. He provides according to our needs in verses 4 and 6. In this very simple story, we know that Elijah had only two real needs at that moment. Food, water. Water, food. That's exactly what he got. God did not provide Elijah with more money. God did not notice the tax. God did not send more servants, more people to help Elijah, to protect him, to cheer him on. God did not supply additional clothing to Elijah, but he gave him exactly what he needed, food and water. The food was sent through the ravens, and the water came from an unknown or an unnamed little river. And if you read on in verse 7, we only stop at verse 6 today, but in verse 7 it says that, you know, soon after that, when Elijah left this place that God has asked him to stay put for a little while, as soon as Elijah left, shortly thereafter, for some reason, like the rest of the land of Israel, this little river also dried up. We have no idea what the river, you know, its name is, but we notice that, you know, God was using maybe an already dried up river, interestingly enough, to make the river vibrant and active again. Also interesting for us to know that, you know, in a land that was, you know, overcome with drought, here there was living water, fresh water. And you would imagine that, you know, a lot of people, or maybe at least some people, would have heard of this place and flocked to this place. But here, the water was for Elijah's personal and private enjoyment. You can be sure that when God provides for you, he knows your needs. And that's when the blessing comes, it is for you to enjoy. It is not to be given to other people, with you still lamenting that God has looked past you and forgotten about your need. God knows exactly what Elijah needed at that time. He knows also exactly what we need, and he's more than able to provide. In the journey through the wilderness after the Exodus from Egypt, we have seen how God time and again provided for his people Israel in the desert. Yes, Jesus will definitely provide. Make no doubt about it. And the third thing that we can learn from this simple passage is that, and this is a very exciting truth, we know that God provides in response to our obedience. We know that he provides exactly what we need. And this is where we can keep praising God. God provides at exactly the right time, the most appropriate time. Verse 6. Who brought him the food? The ravens. And where did he get drinking water, fresh supply of water from? An unknown brook. No doubt about God's timing. Someone has said that God is never too late, he is never too early, and he is always on time. Verse 6 shows us that God not only ordered the ravens to feed Elijah, he also sent the ravens to Elijah at certain set appointed time of the day. So the ravens would appear in the morning and then in the evening. Why didn't they show up during the afternoon? I have no idea. Was it because Elijah has decided to fast, or God was telling Elijah to fast for lunch? The text doesn't tell us. Was it because, you know, there was so much for Elijah to feed on for breakfast that, you know, he didn't need lunch at all, or he would save a little bit, you know, from breakfast to sustain him through lunch? We are also not sure about that. But all we know that, you know, when God sent ravens, he sent it at just the right time. Not too early, not too late. We sometimes get anxious when the answers to our prayers do not come as soon as we expected. We sometimes get anxious when we feel that we are losing control of the situations. I sometimes wonder, do we ask ourselves funny questions after about maybe 3 years of search for an English pastor? Do we sometimes question or have good questions about God's timing, God's way of provision? Do we sometimes even, and I hope not, you know, ask, what's wrong with our church? Is there something wrong with our church? I hope not, you know. But sometimes it is easy for us to get anxious. However, from the example of Elijah, and also from the way that God has been providing for Brother Wang and other people, you know, and even in the lives of many of us here, we know that when God provides, his timing is always appropriate, just as at the right time. So imagine there are a lot of encouraging, you know, illustrations and life stories about that. Just remember, Joseph was raised at just the right time, from being a refugee, a slave, and a prisoner, to become the second in command in Egypt, just at the right time. A young Hebrew beauty queen named Hadassah later became Queen Esther. God prepared her at just the right time to be a way of deliverance for the Jews. David was raised at just the right time from being a shepherd boy and a backup musician to King Saul to become a giant slayer of Goliath and eventually king. And eventually he became king. God knows the timing the best. And interestingly too, you know, when God knows the timing, he may also sometimes use a very unusual manner to provide for us. Ravens, a bunch of ravens. If you have observed ravens feeding, you would know that they are not the most cooperative creatures on earth. Ravens by nature are scavengers. They know how to search for food, and once they have spotted food around, they would fly in, they would grab hold of the food, and then they would devour the food as much as they could and as quick as they could. They are not known for sharing food, not the ravens. But here we see God using the least likely creature, the least likely method to provide for Elijah. So therefore, never limit or presuppose how God can work in our situations, how God can meet your needs, when God is going to bring us the pastor, servants of his choice. Never presuppose, never limit God. It doesn't mean that we don't ask questions. It's just that, you know, when we ask questions, we keep in the back of our mind that God is a faithful God. He's more than able to provide. So if God could use ravens to feed Elijah, he can definitely provide for you, for me, for the church, this year and next year, in unexpected ways. So therefore, you may be looking at a medical situation. Perhaps you want to pray for missionaries, you're not quite sure how to do it or what to say. Perhaps, you know, you've been fighting for enough strength, just enough strength for the day. Maybe you're concerned about the well-being of your children. Perhaps the search of the pastor is sometimes, just sometimes, weighing you down a little bit. Let us always remember to give thanks to God, because he is God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So therefore, I hope this little passage, this little story is an encouragement to you and also to our church as we learn, as we strive as a congregation to love God more, to affect other people for the Lord Jesus, to pray for one another, and to bring servants of God, pastors, missionaries, before the throne of grace, that they too might from time to time experience the mighty faithfulness, provision of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you because we know that you are using this simple little passage and the example of Brother Wang and many of our thoughts and what we've seen in other people to encourage us, to remind us that, oh Lord, at all times you are still the Lord who provides, the Lord who loves to provide. We thank you for that. For those who might be doubting, those who might get a little bit anxious or edgy about their situation, about their weight, we pray, oh Lord, that you would cool their hearts, you would calm their tempers, you would, oh Lord, speak into their innermost being, that you still love them, you know their needs, and you will provide abundantly and beautifully. All this we pray so that we may grow in love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.